The sun is shining. Spring is in the air. Hopefully spring will stay in the air. And with it, it brings a phenomenal, very interesting aspect, an interesting halachic aspect, and that is what is called the Birkas HaIlonos, the blessings of the trees. And there's a lot of fascinating halachas which surround this practice. And I'd like to do with you, I'd like to go through with you today some of the aspects of this very unique bracha, some of its parameters, and there's some very fascinating, also learnable points in terms of the development of this halacha. We're told in the Gemara in Brachos, and this is on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, in source one, the first source one. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haimand Nofik Biyomei Nisan. So it's relevant to us. This is our first Sunday in Nisan. So a person who walks out during the month of Nisan, V'chazi ilone dekom elav levi, and he sees the trees which are blossoming. Oimer Baruch Shelechisar Bo'ilamai Klum. Blessed is God, who did not lack in His kingdom and His world anything. Uvara by Brios Tavos veIlonos Tavos, and He created beautiful creations and good trees. Lihisnaos bohem bnei Adam, for people to lihisnaos. How would you translate that? Right. Just notice that it is reflexive. Interestingly enough, right? It's lihisnaos is reflexive on the self, to sort of say, embetter themselves, or to create, there's some sort of internal enjoyment created through this process. So I'd like to come back to just the fact that this bracha has a lot of additional elements. It doesn't necessarily hone in straight on the trees, right? There's a lot of additional elements in this bracha. We'll come back to in just a few moments. But that is the halacha. What's fascinating is that the next halacha, and which is actually where this is sandwiched in the Gemara, is the Gemara continues to say, it's always important just to see the greater context. Amar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, Rav Zutra, the son of Tuvia, said in the name of Rav Minayin, Shemavarchin al Areach. How do you know that there's a blessing on smell, on scent? Shenema Arkol and Shema Tahal El Ka, that all of the soul should praise Hashem. What is some type of benefit that the soul benefits from, but the body doesn't? Meaning it's one of the more ethereal, it's one of the less tangible types of benefits, of physical pleasures in this world. The reason why it's important just to see the context is the bracha that we're dealing with, this Birkas HaIlonos, is hard to define, it's hard to put in a certain box. Categorically, the Sefer HaChinuch divides all brachas midrabbanan. Most of the blessings that we say are actually rabbinic, right? With the exception of the two biblical brachas. One is Birkas HaMazon, which we say after having substantial food. And the other bracha, which may be Doraisa, is Birkas HaTorah, right? The blessing we say before learning Torah, which we say every morning. Fascinatingly enough, as a side point, it's interesting that the two brachas midaraisa come at the opposite ends of the activity, right? It's interesting that the Birkas HaMazon comes at the end of the activity of eating, whereas the Birkas HaTorah precedes the activity of learning Torah. Just food for thought. No pun intended. But, be it as it may, what happens is that all the rest of the brachas are rabbinically enacted, are midrabbanon, and there are three primary categories, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Category number one is the one which we most commonly involve ourselves in, which is Birkas HaNe'enen. Whenever we enjoy some sort of food, this is like an offshoot of Birkas HaMazon, we enjoy something in the world before or after we say a bracha, right? And the most common place or way that we do that is when we have food. Then there's what's called the Birkas HaMitzvah, which has got a unique nusach, right? The Birkas HaMitzvah will always have Asher Kiddushon B'mitzvah Esav, before we put on tzunin, before we listen to shofar, before we eat matzah, all the different brachas which are a mitzvah. And then finally, the last category, which is a little more amorphous, is the Birkas HaShevach V'Adah, where a person reflects on something that God did in the world and sees Hashem through that. So the problem is that this bracha is harder to sort of categorize. You see, on the one hand, you're reflecting on the beauty of God in the world, but at the same time, there's an aspect of lehisnois, there's an aspect of some sort of benefit, some sort of enjoyment through the process, right? You see, it's a little bit of it steps on both sides, which is fascinating, because generally, for those of you familiar, where do all the Birkas HaShevach appear in Maseches Brachos? This is a tougher part, but those familiar with Brachos, where do all the Birkas HaShevach appear, all the ones where you're reflecting on Hashem's beauty in creation, they all appear in the very end. The ninth parak at the very end is where all the Birkas HaShevach appears. This appears in Daf Mem Gimel Beis. in and amongst the Birkas HaReach, which is a Birkas HaNenin, about how you enjoy the world. So it's interesting, just in the place where the Gemara even puts it, it's almost like the Gemara is saying, although this is reflecting on the beauty of God in the world, there's some aspect of enjoyment which you're supposed to be getting. Carried over in a halachic sense, fascinatingly enough, when the Shulchan Aruch actually codifies the Salacha, it's not in the sources, but the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Torah, adds in his own addendum to the Salacha. And the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Torah, says, V'im icher levarech ad achar shegadlo aperis lo yavarech od. If you waited until the fruit grew on this tree, and then you see the blossoms are still hanging on a little bit, then you don't say the brach anymore, says the Torah. It's a matter of debate. There's a machlekes of the Mordechai, whether this is true. But where did the Torah pull that out of? Where did the Torah decide to add in that if you wait until after the fruit have arrived, that there is no longer the availability of the bracha? Not so simple. Not so simple. When the commentators look at the Torah, they say divrei atzmoi. These are his own words, meaning he's not bringing this from an earlier source. This is his way of understanding the bracha. What is suggested, fascinating enough, and just on the topic of what type of bracha this is, Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Shulchan Aruch right over there says, you know why? He says, because in the bracha itself, it says, lehisnois or lehanois, to enjoy. You're supposed to enjoy this. And part of the enjoyment means to say that it's not just even seeing the fruit, the tree, but it's knowing that this tree is going to yield fruit, which is going to be to your benefit. So the way that Rabbi Akiva Eger understands this Shulchan Aruch, this Torah, is that in a certain sense, you're not just, you know, reflecting on the glory of Hashem as He expresses it in the creation. To a certain degree, you're also expecting or anticipating what this is going to yield in terms of human benefit, as expressed in the word Lehanos. Very fascinating. And therefore, this may have enough communities about what happens if you have a fruit tree, which is in the 3 years since its planting, if it's the Orla. Right? So you can't eat from that, so would you be able to say this bracha? So that, you see, that becomes very fascinating. This bracha is very, very much linked to the benefit, the aspect of enjoyment that a person is going to be able to gain from this. Fascinating enough. So before we even go further, there's just a very fascinating, in terms of classification, where this bracha, where this falls into.
It sounds like a bracha on emuna, almost.
Wow, why so?
An expectation of what you're going to get out of this tree.
Very interesting. Very interesting. It's actually segued in the middle, if you think about it, because it's the tree has been barren, the tree's been sort of sitting dormant, and we know it's going to be coming to something greater. And then in the middle, you say this bracha, which is like the starting point. So it's very much part of the cycle of emuna in terms of that. I'd like to get back to the reasonings a little bit in a moment. There's a beautiful Ben Ishchai relates to what you're just saying, Jonathan. So, anyways, that's just before we even get any further. Just appreciating what the Gemara is telling us over here. And the question is the following. Is that the Gemara does seem to limit it to, the bracha can only be said, it sounds like, Hayosei, B'yomei, Nisan. It sounds like you can only say this bracha when you leave in the month of Nisan, which is why we're talking about it now, not the end of the month. You still have another 3 good weeks to go find those trees. And the question is the following. Anecdotally, when I was in Yeshiva, there were 3 consecutive years where the Ben Azmanim that I would return to the Southern Hemisphere for would be Nisan. And I would leave at the beginning, perhaps on Rosh Chodesh itself of Nisan, and return very much at the end of the month, and thereby miss all blossoms in Nisan for 3 consecutive years. So what do you do in that case? You see, there's in Nisan in South Africa, it is the fall, or the autumn, and the leaves are falling off the trees. So the question is what happens if you're to see, let's say, blossoms beforehand, not this year? Or you're to see blossoms after Nisan, more likely this year? What happens if you're to see blossoms outside of the parameters of Nisan? Is Nisan Davka? Is it specifically that month or not? So there are a number of possibilities which exist. Ah, fascinating. So Dr. Honeyman has a very fascinating suggestion. But it sounds like from the Parshas of the Gemara that it sounds like we're talking about the month of Nisan, which is what we're in. And the Ritva actually suggests, and he broadens the scope of this, and I'm coming back to your point in just a moment. In Source 3, the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, where the similar Gemara appears, says, Had nafik b'yomei Nisan, a person who leaves during Nisan, Pirush, bracha zu b'shem umalchus, Elosha Talmud Kotzar. So he points out, number one, is that although the Gemara just says Baruch, and then it gives you the text of the bracha, of course you need to have Hashem's name in it. That's important. Now, most of the times the Gemara brings down brachas, it leaves out the Baruch Atah Hashem Lekeinu Melech HaOlam. But the Ritva is pointing out that needs to be included. And then his comment is, it's not necessarily Nisan, but it's wherever the trees are blossoming in that particular area. Okay, so the Ritva has already expanded it. So therefore, when the Gemara says, what's the Gemara effectively saying? Practically, when you walk out and it happens to be in the area that the Gemara is talking about, that is B'yomi Nisan, that is during the month of Nisan, then one says the bracha.
Otherwise, we would never say it in South Africa in general.
There's a distinction.
Totally.
What was that?
Take out Nisan totally.
Yeah, so the thing is that...
There's
2 points which have just been brought up. Number one is, do you go on a place-by-place basis? That's number one. And number two is that, what happens if I'm a place where it is Nisan, but the blossoms extend before and afterwards? Right, that's a little bit different to let's say, a southern hemisphere. So that has to be considered as well. And another factor which Mark is bringing up over here is the fact that is that the Gemara does use the word Nisan at the end of the day. Meaning, if the Gemara wanted to be unambiguous, then the Gemara should have left out the word Nisan. It should have just said, when a person sees blossoms. Right, so there seems to be some sort of significance to this, which is why it's a very big debate in the later Achronim as what the halacha is. But there's a fascinating proof which is brought in the direction of supporting that it's outside of the constraints of Nisan itself, brought by a shiva which is called the Vayechi Yaakov. And he suggests the following. Take a look in source 1, the second source 1, which is under the heading When. This is on the first page. This is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is a parallel Gemara. But listen to the subtlety over here. The Machlokes which is underway in that Gemara, which is a long and extended Machlokes, is when was the world created? Was it created in Nisan? Or was it created in Tishrei? Right? There's the famous Machlokes, and there's proofs both ways, and lots of very interesting sugyas are discussed in the context of that debate. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yeshua is on the one side. He said, "Minayin shebe Nisan noldu ha'avos." Rabbi Yeshua says not only was the world created then, but in fact, the Avos, the forefathers, were born in that month. As he says, Shenemar, quoting a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, which is referring to Melachim Aleph Vav, is referring to what incident in Israel? What's happening in Melachim Aleph Vav? Building of the Beis Hamikdash, right? This is Shlomo HaMelech building the Beis Hamikdash. So in and amongst that context, the Nach says, "Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'os shana letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'shana revi'is b'chodesh ziv." That it was in the 480th year from the time Israel left Mitzrayim in the fourth year in the month of Ziv. So he says, what does it mean Ziv? Why is it called Ziv? And by the way, Rashi, if you just drop down to below it, Rashi says Becholish Ziv. He says Iyarhu. Iyar is the month that we're talking about, right? So in the month of Iyar, what's this referring to? The Gemara says Beyerach Shenoldu Boy Ziusonei Olam. Right? Ziv, in a certain sense, means a glow, glory. So we're talking about the month that the glory of the world is born in. This is referring to the Avos. V'idach nami haksiv v'yerech ha'isanim. Now, this goes back to a previous debate in the Gemara, but surely they were born in the month of the Isanim, which means the strong ones. Ha'asun to takifi b'mitzvos. Okay, that month is full of mitzvos. Be it as it may. Now, listen to the response. V'idach nami haksiv b'chodesh ziv. Wait a second. Rabbi Yeshua is arguing and saying that the forefathers were born in the month of Nisan. How? Because we know that we talk about the month of Ziv, which the glory of the world is born in, referring to the Avos. Okay, so let's actually just drop down to Rashi. If it's talking about Iyar, how do we know that the Avos were born in Nisan? Rashi says the following. After all, Iyar is the following month to Nisan. Rashi says, "Shenoldu boy ziusonei olam, kishenischadesh Iyar noldu kvar b'Nisan." The fact that we're talking about the Avos in Iyar means to say they're obviously born in the previous month, in Nisan. Inami suggests Rashi, Zimnim de Nisan de Tekufa Nimshach Besoich Iyar Shelavana. Maybe you're referring not to the month of Nisan, like Dr. Honigman suggested, but the season. There are four seasons of the year, and one of the seasons in the Torah way of describing it is described as Tekufas Nisan. Right, we need to make sure that when we have the mitzvah of Shomer es Chodesh Aviv, that Pesach always is to fall in Chodesh Aviv, that means to say that we need to make sure that it arrives always in the spring season, which is called Tekufas Nisan. So maybe what Rashi is saying, how do we know that the Avos are born in the Chodesh Nisan, but in the Tekuv of Nisan, is because we talk about them in Iyar, which is usually part of the spring season. Now let's flip that round. The Gemara responds, Rabbi Eliezer responds and says the following. This is in the third, second or to third last night. V'idoch nami haksiv b'chodesh ziv, ha'hud isbe zivua le'ilona, le'iloni. Really, it's the month which there is a ziv, there's beauty to the blossoms or the trees. Do'omar Rav Yehuda ha'man d'nofik b'yom e'nisan v'choz ilona d'melavel v'omer baruch sheloi chisa b'olama klum. And he quotes Abrocha. Meaning, how does Rabbi Eliezer, who wants to defend the month of Nisan not being the time where the Avos were born, he defends it by saying that what is it referring to that is called Chodesh Ziv? It's referring to another thing that happened in the month of Nisan, which is the trees blossoming. But he's talking about the month of Iyar. Right? So how does that work? Must be that we're not talking about necessarily the Chodesh Nisan, but maybe even the season of Nisan. The season of Nisan is a three-month period. So maybe, possibly, with this in mind, it's not necessarily related to the specific month of Nisan, but more likely suggests the response of Ayichiyak of the season of Nisan, when it's spring. The point is that when you enter the spring, you're supposed to say this bracha, which is a beautiful expansion of the month itself. A little bit of technicality over there, but a beautiful yield over here in terms of the expansion of this of the time frame of this mitzvah. In terms of actually seasons, the Haratzi Ratzi Pesach Frank, in his response, suggests that in fact it is done based on a country by country basis. Just to appreciate this, on the top of the next page, the Haratzi suggests this is on page 2, second paragraph. He says Ulefize Yesh Lomar. And the second paragraph on the top of the page 2, he says, according to this, it seems apparent, even according to the opinion who would suggest that the month of Nisan is specifically the month of Nisan, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you will go after the month of the blossoming in that place. He's not expanding the month of Nisan here. He's expanding the general time you would say the bracha in each individual country. And that which the Ritva says, the Ritva which we just saw, who says that it's dependent on each place, and that you go after each spring or each month where it is blossoming in that place. Eretz Yisrael in Israel, the Kadoime, Zimna de Livuve, who Biyom in Nisan. And if you were to be in Israel where the time of blossoming would be Nisan, in Hachinami, I would agree, Diyom in Nisan Davka. Maybe you would say that it's only Nisan. V'imbe Mikre, Paruchu Alonus Ba'Adar, Yamtin Milavorech Ad Nisan. He suggests that if you already see the blossoms in Adar, just after Purim, you should wait until Nisan. V'Ada Kosov, Demash Huska, Begumor, Biyom in Nisan, Tuhu Lav Davka. Haino Lagabe Midinos Acheros. Says the Zohar HaTzvi, when the Ritva was saying that it depends on place by place, he's not saying that you can say the bracha here in America or in Israel, you know, in Adar or Iyar. That might be specific. But when it comes to going to Argentina, when you're going to Australia, and then the trees are blossoming in a completely different season, that season has its own month, suggests the Zohar HaTzvi, thereby limiting the Ritva, and perhaps we'd be still constrained within the month in each season that we're in. Just a very fascinating debate. In fact, the Machatzis HaShekel, one of the famous commentators on the Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch, says that it really is expansive. One can do it during Adar and Iyar. The complication within this debate is, up till now we've only been discussing strict halacha. What about when you input Kabbalah now? Right? So when you input Kabbalah into this, there's actually another aspect. There's another aspect which becomes apparent. Fascinatingly enough, the Birkei Yosef, who's a famous commentator on Shulchan Aruch, it is the Chida, one of the earliest Svari Poskim, suggests the following in source 5. He says, "Vani shamati, I heard the bracha zu al derech ha'emes. This bracha al derech ha'emes. Whenever you see the words al derech ha'emes, what does it mean? Right, it means, you know, in the path of truth, there's obviously something deeper going on over here. When the Rambam says, you know, derech ha'emes, you know that that's generally the part that the art scroll doesn't translate. In the new art scroll translation, it's the part, the more esoteric underpinnings of what's going on. So he says the Chida, al derech ha'emes, that what's going on over here, shaycha davka limei Nisan. This must be related specifically to the month of Nisan. Kufize nearly, to gamal pirchei shkedim yachol levarech b'yem Nisan, and therefore even on the earlier The earlier blossoming trees, one should say it only in Nisan. That even the earlier blossoming trees, people wait until Nisan to do the bracha. And he says that there's some sort of Kabbalistic notion as to doing it during Nisan. That might be why the Gemara specifies Nisan, even though blossoms occur earlier and later. And the question is, why? What's special going on in Nisan that necessitates this? So Rav Avadia Yosef suggests there might be a proof in the Zohar, which it takes Rav Avadia Yosef, who has the entire encompassing Torah, to be able to point out. And he says there's a Zohar in Parshas Balak which says the following. Let's read it carefully. It's in Aramaic, but the Zohar says the following in Source 6. Taninyon, Tlos Shurin Inon Legan Eden. There are three levels, or there are three circles of concentric circles of Gan Eden. And between each of these layers, there are certain spirits or certain neshamas which are floating between each of these layers. And they benefit from being in the proximity to the righteous, who are inside those layers of Gan Eden. But they themselves haven't quite made the entry point. So you can imagine there are three layers, and between each, the ones who can't quite make the next layer are waiting at the bottom and floating very close by in the description of the Zohar. And he says, but we don't understand what's going on inside there. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, which that means to say, we won't understand this except Hashem. V'yomin reshimin is Beshato, and there are specific days during the year, says the Zohar. V'inon yomei Nisan v'yomei Tishrei, during the months of Nisan, the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, di'inon ruchin meshatatan upokdil la'asar di'istrich, that they float around and they go to certain specific places in the world. V'avah gav dezimin sagin meshatatan aval yomei ilayin reshimin inon v'ischazun al gabe shuron de'ginsa. It says, even though they go at other times of the year, specifically in the month of Nisan and Tishrei, they are to be found in among the gardens in the world, says the Zohar. And the Zohar goes on to describe this, which means to say, and as a number of the later sources say, that in a certain sense, in the month of Nisan and Tishrei, there are certain neshamas which have entered the world and are to be found in and amongst the trees and the natural habitat. And so some of the sources say that therefore when saying this bracha, in a certain sense, one is not only relating to the tree, but one is relating to the neshamas which are abounding around those trees and releasing them in a certain sense. Which is, by the way, why it is in the bracha. Did you notice that we don't just talk about trees? We say that Hashem created brios tavos, beautiful creations, and ilonos tavos, and good trees. So the more Kabbalistic sources suggest that the brios tovos are referring to the neshamas which are surrounding those trees, which you're releasing through the bracha of the Birkas Ilan. It's very fascinating. And if so, it's specifically the month of Nisan, because that is, Kabbalistically, the time that we are aware of the fact that these neshamas descend to the world during that time. Very fascinating now. So now what do you do? You see, if you want to see just a beautiful Seder, there's a Rav Chaim Pilagi, also pointed out by Rav Avadia Yosef, points out, this is in a Sefer Moed Lekol Chai, this is the only copy I was able to find in this old text, but listen to the beautiful description he has of a ceremony of Birkas Ilanos based on this. He says, Umanoim, in Saul 7, Umanoim, and how beautiful it would be, im ko yasu, if people would do this, by Miras Birkas Ilanos, if people would do this during the ceremony, diyitstarchu knisya, hu shehu l'shem shemaim. You gather a group of people, that would be the Shem Shemaim. V'yalinu kulam aguda achas levorech birkas ha'ilanos. And you bring them all together to say the blessings on the trees. V'yafrisho achar abrocha shiur litztoka bein kulam keminyan memhei. That each person will separate a certain amount of stoka. There'll be a stoka giving ceremony to the, I'm not sure, or the significance of the 45. V'loy yivchusu kol echad mishloisha putios neged naran. And each person should give at least three coins corresponding to his nefesh, ruach, neshama, right, the three aspects of the human soul. V'achar habrocha yomru hatzvila sedura ala neshamos, and then one should say a special bracha based on the neshamos afterwards. K'moy shenitpas the Sefer, and he quotes the Sefer where it's found. And then he says, "V'yomru mizmor b'shuv Hashem es shivas Tzion." You should say Shira Malos afterwards. D'shayach l'sader zroim, which relates to the agriculture. V'gam mizmor kuf memches. V'yomru kadosh v'ilui gadol neshama shnisgalgalu. And he says, there's an, if you can imagine this whole ceremony, you all gather together, there's a minyan. You say these tehillim afterwards, you say an ilu neshama for the neshamas that are there, and a kaddish. It's an entire process. Why? Because it's relating to what this Birka Yosef is saying, that there's something to do with the neshamas which are related to this place in agriculture. And the question is, so what do you do? What do you do? So can you do it outside the confines of Nisan now? Now that Kabbalistically we're made aware of the fact that this is very specifically related to this month, this is actually a very fascinating and learnable point. Because how do you deal in halacha where the Shulchan Aruch specifically says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that one should do it in Nisan, and in fact most of the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch says, lav davka Nisan, doesn't have to be during Nisan. It doesn't have to be specifically Nisan, but the Kabbalah suggests that it's very specifically Nisan. So what do you do in such an instance? So fascinating enough, what was that? Right, so in general we would follow the Shulchan Aruch, however there's a Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed is an encyclopedic book, which categorizes all halacha, very, very fascinating work. And in it, he says a very fascinating rule. And this is a rule which is up to debate. But listen to what he says in source 8. We're not going to do the whole paragraph, but he says the following. He says, V'nir l'dididon, in the sign of the period in the first line, V'nir l'dididon, he says, to us it would appear, D'gariron b'chol kayotze bozeh bosar achros maran achida. He says, in general, we should always follow the chida. Why? It says, Alpi Divrei HaMekubalim, based on the Divrei HaMekubalim, V'yadua Mashikosov, he quotes, I'm not sure what the source is, in Or HaChaim, Simen Mevov, he says, B'michtav L'chizkiyot, V'tshuva Simen Dalad, Dav Chov Gimel, okay, V'yesh La'asos Karav Ha'ari, Neged Maran. If you're to ever have a dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Arizal, he says, you should always follow the Arizal, he suggests. Why? The pshita the ilu yada maran, because if the Shulchan Aruch had been aware of what the Arizal had said, right? Dal derech haemes, tzarich loyma gam kein, hayomoyre kein, he would also agree with that. Is that unbelievable? So Stei Chemed says that really the Shulchan Aruch was unaware of some of the teachings of the Arizal, which is fascinating because they lived in the same city. And they lived at the same time. They davened in the same minyan. Okay, so just to be aware. Just to be aware. The Arizal and the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, lived in Tzfat at the same time. There's incredible stories about the two of them learning. Okay, so just fascinating argument that the Stei Chemed is saying over here. He says that generally, if you were to have a stir between the Arizal and the Beis Yosef, you would have followed the Arizal because maybe the Beis Yosef, if he had heard about this, would have agreed. By the way, just to be aware, the Beis Yosef was very aware of Kabbalistic underpinnings. He has a book called Magid Meisharim, which are based on the conversations he had at night with an angel. Right? The Shulchan Aruch is not. The Shulchan Aruch is very aware of the Kabbalistic underpinnings of things. So it's very fascinating. That's what he suggests. And Rav Avadia Yosef, whose one of his life battles was, what was one of the life battles of Ravadi Yosef in his Shuvahs? Following the Shulchan Aruch. If you consistently throughout the responsa of Ravadi Yosef, one of the causes that he champions is always paskin like Maran, the Shulchan Aruch. He gave the most incredible respect to the Shulchan Aruch, even to the disagreement of earlier Sfaradi poskim, like the Chidah and like the Ben Ishchai. Very, very strong, the Rav Avadia Yosef says, and this place is no different. He says in source 9, there's the Yechaveh Das. The Yechaveh Das is a compilation of what Rav Avadia Yosef used to say on the weekly Pina Lahalacha on the radio. Very fascinating. A very incredible show, if you'd ever had a chance to listen. It's unbelievable what he puts in there. And he says the following. He says, Ulam, Ledati Ein Ze Mukhrach Klal, responding to the Stei Chemed, it doesn't seem at all likely. Which is another argument he evokes. He says, look, there's a machlokes apoiskim. You should say it outside of Nisan. It's a sofek brachos. He says, "Urat k'moshe kosov agon baal zecher Yosef." V'chein ro'isi b'agon Rebbe Yosef yedid alevi b'sef birkas Yosef. Shevi divrei Stei Chemed anir le'el. He quotes a response. He quotes the Stei Chemed. V'kosov lahasigolav. Shemei kor le'milsa minayin lo'y she'anu holchim tamid achar achras maran achidah. Who says we follow the Chidah when it goes against Shulchan Aruch, which expands beyond Nisan? That's only when you have a halachic decision or a decision made by the Arizal, which is specifically against the poskim. But over here, aval kishiyesh machlekes b'das ari osvadai shiyesh lo leches achad divrei poskim v'lo yishayich loymar boze sofik brachas lahakel. But over here, the Chiddush didn't quote the Arizal. Some people attribute this teaching that is specifically a nissan to the Arizal, but we don't even know it's the Arizal. For all we know, it's the later mekubalim. So it says, in such a case, the only option we have is to lahalech achar maran. After the Shulchan Aruch, says Rav Avadi Yosef. Very, very fascinating. This is very fascinating in terms of the development of halacha. Where this comes up again, tangentially, is as another example, is when it comes to Shiloh Hakan. We're sending away the mother bird. What's the reasoning behind Shiloh Hakan? It's the Ramban. The Rambam suggests a number of different reasonings. The Ramban suggests that it is in order to cultivate in ourselves a certain sense of kindness. It's not for the animals suffering, it's for us to cultivate within ourselves a certain sense of sensitivity. The Zohar, on the other hand, suggests that the reason of Shiloh HaKan is in order to... There's a certain spiritual system which is set into motion. And when we chase away the mother bird from the children, it is, in a certain sense, creating a dynamic in which in heaven that Hashem is reminded, so to speak, of the disconnect in Golus between the children and the parents. And through that, it stimulates a bringing closer to the Geula. Very Kabbalistic notion. So the question is, in Halacha, you're walking along and you see a mother bird on her nest. And you don't need the eggs. What should you do? If you're following the Ramban, that you're trying to cultivate sensitivity, the most sensitive thing to be doing would be leave it alone, right? Because if you don't need the eggs, then don't chase away the mother bird for no reason. But if you're to follow the Zohar, then there's actually an active reason that you're doing by chasing away the mother bird, right? Because you're stimulating this whole process, which is actually a very positive process on a spiritual level. What do you do? Says the Chasam Sofer. Says, we only have, when you have a machlokes between Nigla and Nistar, the revealed Torah and the hidden Torah, we go after the Nigla. We can't start delving into changing our practices based on the Nistar. By the way, this is one of the contention points between earlier Chassidus and the Misnagdim, is to what degree do you shape halacha differently based on the more esoteric underpinnings. As this becomes a very interesting debate throughout history, says the Rabbi Avadi Yosef, clarifying it very clearly, over here we go up to the Nigla, it seems very clear from most of the poskim that it's not specifically during Nisan. However, Rabbi Avadi Yosef advises at the end of his response that if you're in Adar and you see the blossoms, just wait because you could fulfill the da'as of most of the poskim. But let's say you come to the end of Nisan and you haven't had an opportunity to see anything, and now it's entering Iyar, of course you can say the bracha. That's the bottom line that the Rav Avadi Yosef suggests. We try to get everything. If we're not, you're certainly able to go beyond that. One or two other very fascinating points in this halacha is the following. How many trees does one need to see? So fascinating enough, the Gemara doesn't say specify. The Gemara just says a person goes out in Nisan and he sees trees. The Rambam codifies as an halacha. Notice the way the Rambam does it differently to the Gemara. There's a very, very subtle difference. This is in source 10. The Rambam tells us, Haroi brios nois umusukonos b'yoser. A person sees beautiful creations. V'ilonos tovos mevorech shekocha b'loi b'olama. There's a special bracha about beautiful creations. Hayoyse lesodos uleginos b'yemei nisan v'roi ilonos uporchim v'nisonim olim mevorech barachat Hashem nekene melech ha'olam. And he gives the whole bracha. If you're going out to drink Nisan and you see these trees blossoming, then you say the bracha. What is the Rambam change from the Gemara? There's a number of small changes, but what's the primary
benefit?
What was that?
If you benefit from
that. Yeah, interesting. So he says is at the end.
Right.
He does. He just changes the least noise. It's not about reflexive. It's about benefit. It's still benefit over there, but just in the way he describes it. More specifically is the fact that he's going out to where? He's giving you a destination. Do you see that? The Gemara doesn't say where you're going out to. The Gemara could be saying you're walking out of your apartment in Manhattan and seeing a tree. Says the Rambam, no, it's going out to the Ginos to the Sodos. You're going out to the gardens, the fields. Right? So some of the later poskim say that, you know what this means, the Kaf HaChaim suggests? That essentially what's going on over here is the Rambam is understanding that this is not about seeing a tree. This is about being overwhelmed by nature, being overwhelmed by what you see out there. Therefore, the poskim suggests, the Kaf HaChaim, right over here on this, in the Shulchan Aruch says, that one should try to see two trees. Because the Rambam is describing an experience rather than a specific tree. That's what the Rambam is trying to understand, or the way the Rambam understands this. That you're going out into nature, yes. Yes, in general. In general, we do that.
Why would we do that based on the bracha and based on what the Rambam says?
So the way that, just coming back to that point earlier on, the way that Rabbi Akiva Eger understands it is based on the fact that we're talking about the benefit which humanity gets from these trees. He understands that it's the anticipation of what this tree is going to produce as well.
No, but what about the beauty? What about the smell?
Right, so that would depend on how you view this type of bracha. Is it merely just the beauty that you're observing right now, or is it something more in the future? Most of the poskim say that, and the Torah says it very clearly, that it's based on, it's a fruit tree specifically. Although, just la halacha, if you were to, by mistake, say a bracha on a tree, which is an ilan srak, a barren tree which doesn't produce fruit, without knowing, and you said the bracha on the ilanus, you wouldn't go back and say the bracha again, but la chalchila, most of the poskim say that it's only specifically a fruit tree. It seems to be connected very much to the benefit.
The other way, you also have to do it on flowers as well, right?
Right, because even what's the defining factor? Right, exactly. Meaning what distinguishes? So,
is it like if you don't eat that fruit?
I have heard that some poskim are makbid to say that it's specifically a tree which you're going to eat the fruit of, which would basically preclude you from most people are ever saying this bracha, if you think about that.
Right.
That's not generally the practice. The practice is, if it's a fruit tree, it's a fruit tree. One should try to get two different types of fruit trees, but if one's stuck, one is sufficient. But fascinatingly, but there are poskim who suggest that the hanor, the anticipation or the benefit, is very specifically that you're going to be able to eat that. But even people who have pear trees in their back garden don't usually eat of them, because they usually go rotten or eaten by something unless you spray it.
Famous story from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Go to a particular woman in Yerushalayim who had a single tree, and that's where he used to make the bracha. So they asked him, why did you go to this woman? You know, you should go to where the tree is, you should go where there are many trees, you know, the Soviet Mahalacha. So they said, yeah, it's fun, but giving this woman prepares a whole year that I'm going to come for her tree and be the Mesameach.
That's more important.
It's more important than that extra did in the
Mahalacha. Right, exactly, because the Yesh HaMalismoy.
They can go to one tree.
There's much more of a greater value, as you're saying, in that. It's very fascinating. This is a halakh which has a lot of different perspectives in it. It's little piece I'd like to just discuss with you outside is there's a discussion in the poskim whether one can say this bracha on Shabbos. Generally, one can say brachas on Shabbos. Go, brachas. We need as many brachas as you can on Shabbos. We don't have as many Shmona Esrays, right? There's not 18 brachas or 19 brachas every Shmona Esray. So what's the concern? What would the problem be possibly on Shabbos? Is that you may come to, you know, you become so enthralled with the experience that you come to take the blossom off. However, that's what some of the poskim suggest. But a number of the later Achronim, Rabbi Avadia Yosef, included in a different retriever, says that there's no such concern, because the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that when you have when you come to a tree, you come to a myrtle tree, let's say, and you want to say a bracha on the reyach because you smell the myrtle's beautiful smell, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to say a bracha on an esrog attached to the tree on Shabbos. Why not? What's the prime activity that you do with an esrog is actually eating it, right? When you come to it, right? That it produces all kinds of wonderful things, jelly and wine and all kinds of wonderful things. So therefore, the concern is you're going to actually go and cut it off. But a myrtle, you're just smelling. Says Rav Avadia Yosef that, of course, when it comes to the Birkas Ceylonis, the main primary benefit you're getting over now is sight. Some people even categorize as Birkas Ariya, the blessing on sight. Therefore, there's no concern under such circumstances of chopping it down or pulling it off on Shabbos. Just one or two points which I think are very important is that the Ben Ishchai suggests in a most beautiful sense over here that, you know, there are very few brachas where we reflect in such a way. You know, there's many beautiful things we see in creation, but there's very few times that the tree becomes the element of relating to God in the world and you're not lacking anything in the world. The Ben Ishchai suggests that the reason is because in a certain sense the Torah itself compares humanity to Eitz HaSadeh, right? Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. The person is like the tree of the field. And in the same way that the tree on an annual basis, and certainly a fruit tree on an annual basis, disappears in a certain sense from existence, lays dormant, is brown, and is gray. and you don't see anything happening, and then suddenly at a certain point there's rejuvenation, and it starts coming out, and you know that this is the starting point of a whole new process, and soon you'll see leaves, and soon you'll see fruit, and there's a whole process that's in the making. That's a representative of the human life. There are times where there's lows, and there are times where you realize that it's going to come back. And that represents our cycle in life. The Eli Rabbah takes that one step further, and this is what we'll close with. The Eli Rabbah suggests that even it relates to the bracha that Yitzchak gave Yaakov Avinu. Because remember, Yaakov is coming in, and he comes in with the skins of goats of Esav, pretending to be somebody else, pretending to be Esav. And Yitzchak says, Reach b'ni kareach asadeh. Right? He says, my son smells like the beautiful scent of the field. Wait a second. Goat skins do not smell like the field. Goat skins, for anybody who's been in a person who hunts and has skins or heads on the wall, it doesn't smell very nice. So the Eli Rabbah explains that when Yaakov entered the Reach Gan Eden, based on Rashi, entered with him. And that overpowered any of the negative sense that were accompanying him. And in a certain sense, that again is the point over here. Is the Birkas Eilonos is a reflection of the fact that although there might be aspects of ourselves which smell not so endearing, nevertheless, we need to realize that there's a Birkas Eilonos, there's the Reach Gan Eden which accompanies us. At the end of this, the sources I put, which is these days is unbelievable, there's a map of fruit trees in the neighborhood, which can be found over here. I don't know if they're singles or singles or doubles. And also I'd like to, that we have over here, a beautiful pamphlet with the Birkas Eilonos, which can be copied afterwards, which has a number of, thank you very much for contributing, with all the different neighborhoods and areas. It seems to me that there seems to be more fruit trees in Brooklyn than in Woodmere, but I think that might just be because where the pamphlet was published. But there's a beautiful Birkas Eilonos available over here, if anybody like, we can make copies of afterwards. And this is a great opportunity. We have still 3 good weeks, and then there afterwards, many other weeks as well, to take opportunity. It's a very unique and timely blessing. Thank you very much.